Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I am Ryan, and I'm very excited today to have a very special guest, Mr. James Rolfe. James, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. Thank you.
So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I interviewed you like 5 years ago. I had to double check when it was. I can't believe it was 5 years ago. And I know you have 1,000 interviews. You meet a lot of people. Do you recall being a guest on Going the Distance, the Rocky Series podcast about 5 years ago?
Was that 5 years ago?
Yes, it was.
It seems like it was more recent.
I double-checked the date, and I thought it was more recent, too, but I went to my YouTube channel. I was like, oh, posted January 2017. Yeah, so a lot has happened both in your life and, of course, my life. And I want to say, I got to get this out of the way. So when I invited you on that show, the reason why I did, of course, is it's a Rocky podcast, and I was Googling on YouTube, like, other people doing Rocky reviews and film reviews, and I came across Cinemassacre, and I came across your review of the Rocky franchise. I think at that point it would have been up to Creed, not Creed 2, because I don't think Creed 2 was out at that point. And I watched it, of course, about 20 minutes long, and I'm like, oh boy, this guy, he nailed it. He nailed the show. It's something I, you know, do episode after episode. This guy, you know, articulates in 20 minutes. Anyways, I was really impressed by it, and I know you don't take this badly, but I didn't know who you were. I didn't know you from any other YouTuber or personality on YouTube or what have you. But I really like how you discussed Rocky. So, you know, I'm going to invite him on. Sent you an email, and I forgot that I sent the email, and you emailed me back after some time. Oh, sure, I'd love to come on. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Then I Googled you, and I was like, oh, this guy actually has a Wikipedia page. Yeah. So anyway, so anyone listening to you knows who you are. But for me, it was kind of, I just want to say thank you because one, I'm just a ham and egger, but you took a chance on a small little Rocky podcast and you came on. You're very gracious with your time. But I just want to say I feel bad because my brother and I at the time were so inexperienced and our recording equipment was terrible. And I think we were just, I said, man, I don't think I gave James the best interview. I feel bad. So time has passed. I've interviewed other people, but I will say having you on helped me get other people on my show, if that makes sense. And I was able to interview like Robert Tepper, who sang No Easy Way Out. I interviewed Vince DiCola, who did the Rocky IV soundtrack. And then then the best one I interviewed was, I don't mean the name drop, I'm just saying you were kind of the start of people allowing to come on my show, was Bill Conti. I got the interview.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How many Oscars do you have, James? I'm just sorry.
Oh, Oscars?
So anyways, I just wanted to thank you again for coming on the Ramble podcast. So tell the listeners, like, what do you do? Who are you? And why would people know you?
I am best known as the angry video game nerd. I review old video games, the ones that you don't want to remember, the ones that frustrate you. Yeah, that's really all it is. It's a nostalgia channel. I do nostalgia stuff. Yeah. Rocky's a big part of it. That's especially cool, too, to hear that you found out about me from Rocky. It's always neat when it's something different. Some people say, oh, I learned about you from your horror movie reviews or Godzilla or something. So that's always cool.
You were the Rocky guy, and that's how I first found out about you, was searching out Rocky stuff. Now, you did a video called Rocky Jumps the Bench, which I believe was released in 2008. And at the time of our interview, it wasn't available on YouTube. I think it was hard to find, but you've since re-uploaded it. Because I think when we talked about it, you're like, I don't think it's on YouTube. You didn't know where it was. You re-uploaded it in 2017. So I don't know if you re-uploaded because of our interview, because we mentioned it in that interview that it wasn't on YouTube. Yeah. So it might have been afterwards. I don't know.
I do know that it was like, for a while, it was like, it would get taken down because of movie clips or music or whatever. It was all the copyright bullshit. So I eventually like did one that was like less music and more updates too. Like I kind of updated a few of the locations, like, oh, the Spectrum doesn't exist anymore. And like the ice rink wasn't Philly. It's been found that it was in LA.
Right.
Things like that. So it was cool to have like a new version of that. And then recently doing the Rocky IV locations. So that was the sequel. Very long overdue sequel, Rocky Climbed a Mountain.
Definitely want to talk about that. So your partner in that video was someone that I've become friends with through my Rocky podcast, was Derek Wayne Johnson, and he's been very kind and gracious with his time. I've interviewed him 4 times for 4 different projects. He's someone, I guess you could say, we've become friends. I don't use that loosely, but we've talked between interviews and stuff, somebody I've kept in touch with. And he's a gentleman, a scholar, very handsome. He's all those things. So how did you end up meeting Derek, though?
I first met him back when he was coming out with King of the Underdogs, the John Avildsen documentary. I, as I recall, I think he emailed me But I did an interview with him on the channel, and since then, I've met him a few times in L.A., and then this time doing the Rocky documentary. It's a weird thing to reach out to somebody and be like, hey, do you want to climb the Rocky Mountain with me? And he was into it, and that was really cool because a lot of people would think, like, oh, this is crazy. Like, this is – because it was. It was kind of a crazy idea, but I wanted to do it. It was kind of a bucket list thing. Just wanted to see who was going to go with me, and he's been, like, my Rocky buddy. Even though we like all kinds of stuff, we like all kinds of films, but we kind of met over Rocky-themed things, you know, John Avildsen, those kind of topics. So it was great, you know, to have somebody who was really into it, you know, who just wanted to be there and wanted to get close to those locations, like as close as we were able to. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a little bit of a spiritual journey. It was cool.
Yeah, it's a wonderful video. I watched it the moment you guys dropped it. He hinted at it. I was very excited about it. And when I heard it was coming out and when I saw it, amazing stuff, amazing footage. And legit, I'm very impressed that you guys found what you found. It's one thing to find the corner of a street in Philadelphia where Rocky's house was, mm-hmm. or where he talked to Gazzo. It's another just to find, like, where were those homes that, you know, Rocky was training at, where was the river that he ran through. That was legit. Like, oh, you actually found the river that he ran through. And then all that stuff was pretty spot on and amazing. I was getting very stressed out, though. I don't want to spoil the ending. When you guys were getting closer to where the mountain was, like, what do you got? You guys are wearing, like, flip-flops and tank tops. I mean, like, I was getting kind of, yeah. Like, you guys are not prepared to climb that mountain. It stressed me out. It's like, how far are you? I was getting worried about your food. Do you guys have enough food to eat? Like, it was really stressing me out. It seemed like, where's your food? Where's your water?
Yeah, I think we went to the store before that. We got, like, those granola bars and stuff like that. So we had that. We had, like, bottles of water. The only thing we didn't think about was, like, we should have really got some, like, good hiking gear.
Yeah, you were in sneakers or something. Yeah, it was – you're sliding all over the place. But, yeah, it's a wonderful – I don't want to – I'll just plug it. I mean, obviously, guys, if you're a Rocky fan or even, obviously, just a James Rolfe fan, I'd recommend watching that video. I mean, nobody needs my plug. I mean, I don't know what – yeah, anyways, you're going to get a huge bump for my plug. But, anyways, I just want to say it is amazing and well done. But I have a challenge for you and Derek for another Rocky location, though.
Oh, okay, cool.
The Rocky III beach scene. We need to have you guys do the beach, and and you guys will have to do the run with each other and glistening legs and high shorts and hug each other in the ocean. I mean, that has to be the follow-up.
Yeah. Rocky ran a beach or something.
Yeah, Rocky ran the beach. There you go. Perfect. So you heard it here, folks. That's my challenge to you guys is that. Cool. And then you'll have to find Tough Gym. That was the gym that Apollo took Rocky. It's called Tough Gym. So I don't know if that gym is still there, but it'd be interesting to see if you guys could find that location.
Well, now you got me curious. I'm gonna start looking into it.
Well, you've got me curious there, James. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there you go. There's a little bit of Rocky talk. But now we're going to roll, into Rambo. This is a Rambo podcast. What is your fandom overall with Rambo? Or is it just Rocky? Am I dragging you through this? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Like, I probably saw – I was going to say Rambo 2, but technically it is Rambo 1. It's First Blood Part 2.
It's Rambo First Blood Part 2. Yes, that's the official.
Yeah. It's always been kind of a confusing situation. Like, I remember as a kid, I think my dad showed me these movies, or they were on TV or something, and I was asking him, like, wouldn't it be Second Blood? Like, there's First Blood and Second Blood.
Yeah. Well, Last Blood, that one fell in, so you're right. It should have been Second Blood. Or More Blood. Additional
More Blood.
More
Blood, yeah. Rambo 2, whatever we call it.
It's fine.
Was like the NES game. So it was the same plot of the game where he has to go into Vietnam, right?
Yep.
And he has to take the pictures, and I think he asks in the beginning, he's like, what, you just want me to take pictures? That's it? You don't want me to, like, rescue the hostages? That whole plot happens in the game, like, in, like, the speech bubbles. The first movie, I think, is the best, in my opinion, but it's very different. It's not what you think of when you think of Rambo. You think of him, like, running in to rescue people, whereas the first movie, it's just, like, a war between him and the police force. But this movie was where he got, like, really ripped and went into that, like, macho 80s hero character. Yeah, I mean, the second movie is just, it's classic. It's very different than anything he's done, like, with Rocky or anything. It's just such a different character. Sly probably is one of those actors you kind of think of in a typecast kind of way, as like just doing like one thing, doing like an action hero, but it's so different, Rocky and Rambo.
People have made fun of Sly throughout the years for his acting chops or what have you. But when he plays Rambo and when he plays Rocky, I don't see Sly. I actually see the Rambo character in Rocky. Like, he does a great job separating the two characters. And he's known for both. And there's very few actors that can do that. I mean, when you watch Indiana Jones or Harrison Ford play Indy, I don't think Han Solo. There's very few actors that have been, like, immortalized by a certain character where they can be almost two different iconic characters. And you don't get the two mixed up. I think Sly is one of those few people who have done that.
Yeah, yeah. I think this movie is a great testament to that. And that's a good point about Harrison Ford, too. He has a lot of roles, but, you know, two big roles that you're known for that are different, but they're kind of the same. They're kind of a little bit related, but different.
Yeah, because I think every actor channels themselves to some degree within their own acting. It's just natural.
Yeah.
Before I forget, I found out that you were the first person on YouTube to use a thumbnail. Did I hear this wrong? It was on another YouTube channel.
I'm not sure, actually, because I don't remember it letting you pick thumbnails back then. I don't know when exactly the thumbnail would have been, but
I'll see if I can find the video. It's one channel that I follow. They were doing like YouTube history or just the first, like they're talking about the records that were broken or what have you. Did they mention you? And it was just like apropos because I was like, oh, I'm going to be talking to James like in 2 days when I watch this video. And they said that, yeah, you were the first use of the thumbnail. So maybe it was by accident. I don't know, but I was going to.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, it's pretty cool, though. That's pretty awesome.
Okay. So do you remember then the first time you watched Rambo, how old you were? Did your parents rent it for you or something like that?
Oh, pretty young. I mean, I don't really remember if it was a rental or if it was on TV. I mean, I suppose it had to be a rental because I remember the fuck 'em line in part three.
Yeah. It's a big moment.
Two and three kind of blurred together in my memory a little bit, but I was definitely pretty young when I saw him.
Right. Well, how old are you now, if you don't mind asking?
Oh, now I'm 42.
Yeah, so I'm just about 5 years old, 4.5 years old than you. Yeah, so that sounds about right. So you would have seen part three for sure on VHS or rental, because my mom took me to Rambo 3 in the theater. That was my first Rambo film to see in the theater, was part three. I would have been 13 at the time, so you would have been 9. Yeah, you would have been young when part three came out. So really, you're still quite young. So for you to be about 9 years old, 10 years old, and already those three Rambo films, I can't imagine your parents are rushing to get you the Rambo trilogy at that age.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, so my mom took me to Rambo 3. And then I've seen the rest. Yeah, then I saw, of course, 4 and 5 in the theater. But yeah, the first two, of course, I was too young to see in the theaters.
Oh, cool.
Because I actually just watched your Saturday morning cartoon video. I think it's your latest one on your channel there. And I noticed all the cartoons you were mentioning. It's like, oh, these are all your memories, and these are all James' memories of cartoons. They didn't relate to me, so I knew you must have been just that. It's funny because with cartoons, it's like there's a certain cartoons that will come out that when you get older, you think to yourself, well, I'm not watching those. Those are for kids. And I was probably 10 or 11 when I'm thinking in those terms, so that makes sense because my Saturday morning cartoons were quite different. I mean, I used to watch like Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. G.I. Joe, of course, was big. He-Man.
Yeah.
So it's just, but the Muppet Babies and the ones you were bringing up, those were kind of new. They were like, I've stopped watching it. And you also mentioned your video about Saturday morning cartoon. They were definitely called that when I was a kid. That was like your, and it was like basically from like 6 in the morning were kind of the more unknown ones. 8 was like prime time. 8 in the morning was like prime time cartoons. And then by noon, you didn't stick around by noon. You were going outside to play. Like, oh, these are garbage cartoons. So it was definitely a real thing. Was that Saturday morning was for kids. It was their YouTube. That's all we had. It was like, we didn't have YouTube. We only had like four channels, and they all played and you used to have to decide, it's before VCRs. You'd have to decide like, which one am I going to watch? I don't know which one. Oh, it's a repeat. Good. I'll watch the other one anyways. And so
to switch between the commercials, and then they all play the commercials at the same time. You're like,
So I think what people like about your channel is that nostalgia. I know we're going kind of back and forth, and I apologize. I want to make sure I speak to what you do, and I know people are watching for that reason too. So what is it about the nostalgia of that time that certainly you have tapped into as a creator, but why do you think it resonates with people so much? Why can't we, quote unquote, just let it go, as they say?
Let it go, yeah. I don't know. But that's kind of like a theme in a lot of my stories too. Things I hope to create and also things that I have created. Like, there's always a theme of, you know, the angry video game nerd is sort of like, can't let the past go, but he looks back at the past in more of like a negative way. So,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you look back to the past to find some kind of meaning in your current life. And try to recall something that was important to you or something that's a part of you. I think it has to do with that.
It's a lost, I would say art, but kids today, and I have kids, I know you have kids, I think you've had a second daughter since our last recording. Mm-hmm. When they become our age, 30 and 40 years old, let's say, what are they going to, like, they don't, everything's at their fingertips now. Like my kid, like my my son, who is a big Simpsons fan, he's 10 years old. He's binged The Simpsons like twice, the whole all 30 seasons on Disney Plus. He just loves, but there's no waiting. You know what I mean? There's no like, I watch this on Saturday mornings. There is something nostalgic about the Saturday morning or after school specials. And what are quote unquote YouTube creators going to be doing 30 years from now? What's their nostalgia going to be? Is there going to be nostalgia?
Yeah, I don't know. Cause like already I'm trying to find like nostalgia more recent, like just like, hey, we're always talking about the 80s, let's start talking about the 90s, and now, well, let's start talking about the 2000s. Just trying to figure out, like, is there any point where it just stops becoming as important, or it doesn't have the same charm?
There is something unique about the 80s and 90s, I think, and I heard some theory, not theories, but people have speculated, something happened in the 2000s where identity, remember the decades that used to have identities? You think about 70s, 80s, and 90s. There's a unique identity. 60s and 50s. Oh, there's, all, there's a unique identity. You could say, oh, that outfit's from the 50s. That outfit's from the 70s. Look, he's wearing bell bottoms. You know, you could always identify identity with style, fashion, and music with every decade. But I feel like after the 2000s, what were the 2010s? What was their identity?
2010s are tough. 2000s, they're still
a little bit of a carryover from the 90s, I guess.
Little bit. There's like AOL and like still going on, and I just remember Napster.
So is that the new nostalgia? Is computer related stuff?
Maybe MySpace.
Yeah, it might be the new nostalgia. Might be computers. All right, interesting. All right,
maybe.
So are you ready to do a little bit of a ramble discussion here?
Sure. Yeah.
I think some people. I just want to make sure we get everyone. If I'm missing any chat here, okay. I said here. This is from Backdoor Wolf. This says, "You're only young once. You won't be nostalgic for things now like you were when you were a kid." I understand. I guess what I'm asking, I'm trying to put ourselves in a kid's position. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I know we can't be nostalgic about today, but I'm wondering if the people, my kids, for example, what are they going to look back on as now? Like, oh, I remember watching Simpsons on my iPad. Boy, that sure was the day. It's just weird. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what
I'm already prepared to, like, remind them. Be like, hey, look, remember when you used to watch this? I already do that, actually. Like, there's stuff that, the oldest one is 9, so I'll show her things that I'm like, oh, remember when you were like 2 and you watched this?
And they don't, or does she?
Sometimes it's kind of like you're unsure. Maybe she remembers it, or maybe she doesn't, or she's like embarrassed to remember it, or that's not cool anymore, right? You know?
They want to grow up so fast. Oh, no, I have an 8-year-old daughter. I feel you. So good luck. All right, so you're ready to watch a little bit of Rambo. So what we're going to do is I'm going to replay this last scene because it's probably considered the most iconic scene. It
looks like Rambo's about to get some serious shit right now.
Yeah. So I just want to replay it again because it just sets the action that we're about to watch.
John, come in.
Murdoch.
He's here. Rambo, this is Murdoch. We're glad you're alive. Where are you? Give us your position and we'll come to pick you up.
Murdoch.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm coming to get you.
First of all, I'm just so glad you played that because I knew you were doing this in like pieces, like how you're going through the whole movie. I'm like, oh man, like I hope I get the scene where he says, Murdoch, I'm coming to get you.
It's like the Adrian Wynne scene in Rocky 2, you know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah, like the only thing close, which I think is 3, is when he says, I'm your worst nightmare.
Yeah, it's like, no, I gotta show James because it gets you in that mood again. That music kicks in. He's about to backhand that big Russian guy there.
And the lightning flash. I forgot about the lightning flash.
On cue, man. Nature was on Rambo's side that day. Nature's like, hey, could you imagine like Rambo's actually doing this? He's making this big speech, Murdoch. And then Thunder cracks, hey, that was cool. Cool. All right. I'm coming to get you. Just love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, so we'll watch a little bit of this breakout action sequence for a bit and we'll comment on it. All right, what I like right away is that Ko, his female partner, she's been kind of not really helping out Rambo, but now she's doing it, man. She's taking out a few of the Viacon there to get Rambo out of there. And I love the payback. If you remember before the scene, like Rambo was getting tortured quite extensively by the that big Russian guy, and that was his payback.
Using like a thing. Why can't I'm blanking on it? It's a mattress.
It's like a spring mattress. Yeah, it's like the bottom part of what you put on the bed. And I love it. And I love how he throws the guy against it and turns it on. And I love how he's sort of stuck to it. The electricity is holding him to it. He can't. I'm hanging on to this. I can't let go. The electric shock is making me stuck to it. I don't know. I get a kick out of that kind of stuff.
Oh man, it's so good.
See, now Cole's taking out like four guys.
Now, this is the Hot Shots Part 2 scene. Hot Shots Part 2. Like, it makes me think of that.
It's funny watching this now. Of course, 2022. This came out in 85. It is silly, but it's just so good. Because when this came out, it wasn't silly. I mean, I'm sure critics, this is ridiculous. But it was just so unique in its own right that it's been mimicked and copied so many times. I don't know what other film before Rambo 2 really shot the 80s action to this level.
Like, that's been copied as much?
This one has been copied so much. But what other 80s film? Because this was literally the mid-80s, that kind of this over-the-top one-man army.
I mean, I can't think of many that have been copied nearly that much. But, you know, like Mad Max 2, pretty big, and Raiders of the Lost Ark was big.
Yeah, the one-man army, every shot hits, every knife hits, every connection hits.
Yeah.
And the one other big film, people said, what about Commando? Yeah, but Commando was a response to this film.
That's right, yeah.
So I just love how many soldiers, I mentioned this in a previous episode when they first went to the camp, but just how many soldiers are at this location. You have, 10 prisoners of war, but they have 100, 100 Vietnamese soldiers or Viet Cong soldiers here. It's like, where do they sleep? What do they eat? Who's cooking all their food? I mean, this is quite an outfit, and they have a helicopter. Uh-huh. It's just over-the-top protection for these 10 POWs that they move around every 2 weeks.
I like the barbed wire, just moving it with his bare hands.
Yeah, Rambo doesn't have time to put on gloves or any kind of protection. He's just got to move that barbed wire. Oh, I forgot to mention, of course, for our listeners, there's Russian soldiers have also joined the Viet Cong army. So Rambo is literally against two different military factions here. These guys are just, again, protecting or hiding POWs. That's all this assignment is. Like, your assignment is they've got 10 soldiers for every one diseased, ridden, sick POW that can't move. For our listeners, there's the big escape. Rambo and Ko are running out of the camp. Helicopters on them, so they're dodging the helicopter light. Rambo seems to have trouble with helicopters, both in part one, part two, and in part three. Helicopters seem to be a reoccurring theme, Rambo versus the helicopter.
I mean, it's definitely a jungle movie. It's not like, it doesn't have a lot of different scenery to it. It's kind of in one place, but the amount of enemies it shows is insane. And the body count of fighting against the helicopter. I mean, I'm sure a lot of video games looked at this because it seemed like there was often a helicopter as a level boss or something. And you had to like take out the weak spot.
So that was a long sequence. I mean, not in a bad way, but for quite a fun sequence. Of course, people can see this on their own movies, copies of the movie, but Rambo and Ko escaping, you got Rambo sliding down the ravines and they're going through the water and they got the helicopter chase, and it's an exciting sequence. It's almost very sweet of Indiana Jones. It has its own type of Indiana Jones flair, because a lot of it's just very little Rambo shooting back. They're just escaping. They got to escape. They realize they're a little bit outnumbered here. They can't take on the whole army, so they're trying to hide and escape. Now it's like the next day, I guess, is what we're led to believe here. The sun is rising. Colonel Troutman's going to go talk to Murdoch here. You got Murdoch. He's literally a little bit nervous under the collar there.
He is sweating now.
He's really sweating now. First, he's sweating because of the heat, but now he's sweating because he's got the threat from Rambo. I'm coming to get you.
Yeah. It pays off so good at the end, too.
It really does. What do you think is better, the Rambo 2 ending with him facing Murdoch, or Rambo facing down Teasel, Sheriff Teasel, in the sheriff station? Which one do you think is a better payoff?
Oh, man. The first movie. That's tough, though. I think if I were to take the scene out of context, I think this one with Murdoch, as a whole, I think the first movie does it best.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah. But it is a nice little sequence, of course. When he goes in, he's going to stab him, or what we think will be a stab, but it's mm-hmm. not. But yeah. Yeah, it's a great sequence. So Murdoch here, though, he's sweating.
We're safe for now.
Now, I love how Julia Nixon, who plays Cole, she just looks great here because she's dressed up because she was dressed up as the town harlot, you know, to come visit the boys. That's how she got inside the camp. She pretended to be, it was her turn to be the whore of the village type thing. So that's how she got into the town or into the village of the Viet Cong soldiers. But so she's still dolled up is what I'm getting at. And she looks fantastic. The actress herself and the character. We mentioned before another episode, I think it might have been with Derek actually. He was on episode 3. We mentioned that this is actually Julia Nixon's first movie, and it never really, she's done like steady work throughout her career, but we speculate, or at least I speculated on that episode, that it never catapulted her to where I think she deserved. I think if she was found today, she might have more work than she did in the 80s, which is too bad. For a first movie, this isn't bad. I mean, like Sandra Bullock's first movie, really a big movie, was Demolition Man. That helped her career. And then Speed, of course. But then this one here, I don't know, I just feel bad for Julia Nixon. Never really, because she's very athletic. I mean, she probably had a lot to offer. And there's just more female roles now for, like, action sequences. And it's almost like the wrong decade for her. So I feel bad. You know, they're resting. It's the next day. They think they're safe from the chase. And they're going to have a bit of a conversation here.
You look like hell, Rambo.
Tough night.
Maybe need this. You hurt bad.
It's all right. Listen, what you did back there, I won't forget it. Thanks.
What you do now? Try getting across to Thailand?
Yeah.
Then go America?
Yeah.
You take me with you?
It's funny, no matter how many times I watch this film, I always forget the kiss. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a Mandela effect or something. Maybe people can let us know in the comments. Was that kiss always in the film? Because I know they filmed the kiss, but I try to remember if there was a cut without it. I can't recall. But it's just weird seeing Rambo kiss. I don't know why I find it weird.
I don't really remember it either. I do remember what happened.
There we're getting there.
What a bummer.
Just so you know, and James, the author, David Morrell, which I had the pleasure of interviewing mm-hmm. at the start of this podcast, he wrote the adaption. So, he wrote and created the character Rambo, First Blood. But then parts 2 and 3 were made as films, and he's the only author that has the rights to write the Rambo character. So he was given the scripts for 2 and 3, and he wrote his novelization from the scripts. Mm-hmm. So he added his own background. What he added for background for part 2, he did Sly bad, or the Rambo character bad. He made Rambo a virgin. So if you were to argue like which one's canon, well, I mean, you could argue David Morrell is the author of the, or the creator of the character. So he said that this point in Rambo's life, now of course Sly's a little bit older than the Rambo character in the books by about mm-hmm. maybe 7 to 10 years, but had a high school sweetheart and he went to war and he came back. He never consummated that relationship with the girl before he went to war, and he's just never been with a girl since. So that's the first time he's kissed a girl, according to David Morrell, since his high school days.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense given his history. Yeah.
So she's like, you take me to America? And he's like, yeah. Get some co-time.
I think you made a good choice.
Yeah.
We go?
Let's go.
Guy that kills, okay, so I should say first, okay, let's go. So she goes walking away. He's like, oh, I forgot my bow and arrows. He goes back to get his bow and arrow, and she's out there exposed alone. I guess in theory, him forgetting the bow and arrow saved his life, because if he had been walking out there with her, would he not have been just as shot as she was? The guy was hidden. That her getting killed alerted, of course, that he was now, you know, they're under attack. But had he been just as available to be hit there, in theory, he could have been hit too. What do you think of that killing of Ko there?
I don't think I ever liked it, really. I mean, now I look back at it and I think of it a different way. Now I'm just like, well, it's meant to be shocking. It's meant to get you upset. I think as a kid when I saw that, I'm just like, no way. You got to be kidding me. Why would they be so cruel to have her die?
It is pretty brutal. I'd say graphic. It's one of the more graphic kills of a character in the film. One, because it's the quote-unquote good guy. It's a good person being blown away, so you don't enjoy watching that. When it happens to the bad guys, you get giddy from the, look, they're getting torn apart by bullets. But when it happens to a good person, especially a female, I don't know if that's a bad misogyny. I don't understand. I know, like, watching women getting blown apart, it's a little bit more disconcerting for me anyways. And it wasn't common for films. I don't even think back then, more so now because we have more equal rights in films, I guess, with, women actresses or actors, playing these more violent roles. But seeing a woman getting blown away like that, it wasn't very common, at least in my viewing days.
I can't think of any other movies. I mean, I know Mad Max, the first one.
Sure.
His family gets killed, but I can't think of a lot of other movies where they would have the guts to do that. Yeah, that time.
She gets blown away, lands in the water. She's not quite dead yet. We'll get a little bit more out of her before she dies. So Rambo took out like four or five soldiers, but the individual that killed Ko or shot at Ko, he is the kind of a top leader. He's the main guy, bad guy, leader, captain or whatever of the Viet Cong guard. So he gets away like little weasel. He runs away and his comeuppance is great, as you know.
Oh, he's the one who gets blown up.
Yeah, that's the same. It's the same guy that killed Ko, and Rambo knows that. It's the guy shooting at him with the handgun. And Rambo, slowly.
I think they show that scene in Gremlins 2 as well.
Oh, do they?
That's the scene that Gizmo is watching on the TV.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
And then at the end of the movie, he imitates that with the rubber band and the matchstick or whatever when he when he burns the lead gremlin.
You could do a whole podcast on how many times has this film been imitated, not mocked, but lampooned, imitated, drawn from, referenced. It's insane. It's insane.
You're right. You're right.
Rumble?
Yeah. Yeah.
You not get me?
No. No. No.
And his virginity streak continues.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, that's actually a really good shot there of him holding the water. That actually make for like a good oil painting or having Rambo hold someone like that. It's actually a really cool scene, cool shot.
Yeah.
And if you notice too, that film, it's almost like soap opera-y look to the film. You know, like it looks not blurry, but
glossy, kind of
glossy. Like, there's the word. Yeah.
I want the rescue team ready to go in 1 hour.
You're risking your career, your reputation, even your family's security. You honestly think any one man's worth all that?
Yes, I do.
I'm giving you a direct order to withdraw from this project.
Do I get the rescue team or do I go over your head?
You don't seem to understand something. I'm in charge here. You're just a tool. We're the machine. I want him placed under arrest. He's not to leave the base.
Never had a chance, did he?
Like you said, Colonel, he went home.
Well, that's where we're going to stop. I know it's right where the revenge sequence kicks in. But let's talk about that sequence just before. So Murdoch's telling Troutman about, he's just a tool. I'm in the military. I'm in the Navy, I should say. And there are days or moments where, you kind of feel that way. And I understand that there's a big machine. There's a big mission or whatever it might be. And at the end of the day, the people that kind of run the machine or part of the machine, we're just tools. If I were to quote unquote die or fall over, somebody else just rolls in and takes my place. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of the nature of the military in general. It's what we sign up for. You wouldn't talk that way to speak that. Like that's the way that it works. Like everyone is kind of trained to know the other person's job to a degree. So if someone does fall or whatever, that there's someone else that can come in and take the place. But to speak that way, like that, so callously, it just shows this government conglomerate that's very indifferent to the sacrifices that these soldiers, and they're people. They're not just tools. What do you think of your first experience on the Rambo podcast and watching a little bit of the film again after maybe a little while?
Very cool. Yeah, it's such a great idea.
You, on your Saturday morning cartoon, you showed a quick little piece, but you didn't talk about it, the Rambo cartoon. You showed footage of the RoboCop. It's like, oh, come on. Because you're talking about how the cartoons, when we were kids, were able to take like hardcore radar films and make them into kid-friendly mm-hmm. cartoons.
Yeah, there was another big one I forgot about, Toxic Crusaders. I don't remember if it was Saturday mornings, but...
Oh, really? They did that one for that one, too?
Sometimes I couldn't remember whether it was a Saturday morning show or a weekday show. There's also, I remember Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
What?
Oh, you haven't seen that one?
That was a cartoon as well?
Yeah, I mean, probably very short-lived.
Sure. Sure.
But there was like a team of heroes in it with swords that are dicing up the tomatoes. And
that's funny.
It was kind of gory because even though they were tomatoes, I kind of thought of it as like blood when they're getting cut up and everything.
That is hilarious. That is wild. The Rambo cartoon was horrible. I remember being, because that came out when I guess I was a little bit older. I'd already been a fan of, you know, the first two Rambo films, even at the age of like, you know, 10, I'd watched the first two. And I was getting a little bit old for cartoons at 10 or 11 back in the day. I remember the Rambo cartoon came out. I probably gave it a whirl. But the moment I realized it wasn't Stallone doing the voice acting, I think that was a big turnoff for me. Like, oh, that's not Stallone's voice. There's one scene where he literally rides a rocket in the sky, holds onto it. And I'm like, I can't do this. Cartoons don't work as well. Did you ever know the cartoon Robotech?
Robotech? No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, this is me going to nerd out on you a little bit. So this is my, you don't have to do this, but this is my challenge to you, because I think you should add this to your repertoire of reviews or something. It was like, you probably recognize the ships of these guys. So what it was is, it was a Japanese production. They would go into these like transformer robots that would turn into jets, and then they would also then be, they could walk around. So the humans would control them in the cockpit. But they would transform from walking robots to jets, and they were like fighting this alien invasion and what have you. It's one of the best cartoons ever, but this was like six in the morning on Canadian television. They would show this Robotech, and it was one of the few cartoons that was like serialized drama. One episode would go into the next episode. And mm-hmm. so it wasn't a matter of you could just be like, oh, I'm going to watch a He-Man episode. Like every episode ties
in. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually a serialized drama.
Oh, wow.
And it was about as adult as you could get to being a cartoon. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking at images real quick. Yeah, that's so funny how there were so many of these shows that resembled Transformers, GoBots, Voltron, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the originals. It's an amazing cartoon. Wow. Amazing. It's been an absolute pleasure, James, having you on. I want to say thank you for guesting on the show, for cracking wise for a little bit, hanging out with me. I know your time is busy, but why don't you tell us what people can expect from Cinemassacre? That's your major channel. That's your mainstay, because I know you got a lot of projects. So do you want to describe again what your what that channel's about?
It's just a nostalgia channel of video game reviews and movie reviews, and then anytime when I do anything original as well, it's generally reviews of media. But yeah, I'm working on some horror movie reviews right now, and another Angry Nerd episode. It's a big one now. In fact, right after this, I'm going back to some editing, going into this like an analysis mode of like, you know, movies and stuff. So
so this is your job. This is your doing this channel. I mean, I do a side channel. I'll just quickly plug it. I don't think any of my Ramble listeners. I do a reaction channel with my best friend called Welp. That's WELP. Welp. Here we are on YouTube. It's a hobby. We do like Patreon requests where people ask us to react to some songs and what have you. Anyways, I just like editing our own videos and things like that. I know how much work on a small scale, how much work it goes into producing. I look at your channel and I mean, how much of it are you doing on your own? Cause I'll edit a stupid 10 minute reaction video and it's just like, oh, this is so much time. I mean, do you have people to edit for you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I edit what I can, but then I send a lot of it to other people to edit. So the movie reviews, most of them are being edited someone else, but I still look at the final product.
That's the thing with the edit. The reason why I don't even want to offload it to anyone else is because I want to keep certain jokes in. It's that creative control, because when you send things
creative control, yeah. It's like they edit it exactly how you want. Like,
so how do you tell them how to edit it before they get it?
They have the script. They have everything. They have all my notes. Because generally what I edit, it's already laid out because it's already written in a script. So, like, here's how it goes. We'll even be, like, notes in the script, like, show this image, get it from this time code of the movie, that.
With all that work, like, there, you might as well just edit it.
You know, that's what I thought before.
Okay.
But there's so much bullshit work when you edit. It's like you're leveling out the sound and, like, trying to equalize the volume and do, like, a fade in here. And
you're right.
So much of it's technical, like color correction and, like, everything that goes into it. It is kind of easier to offload that, because then once you offload it, you can start writing the next episode. So you're writing it while they're editing, and that keeps a flow going.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, like I said, mine's just a little reaction channel. So it's just basically the video of me and my friend. I do the overlay and put her.
Yeah.
And I do it for this video too. You'll see that what I'm looking at right now on Discord is not going to be what it looks like on YouTube. Are you allowed to say what your next Cinemassacre video is going to be? Because this, just so you know, this will be about a month. This is going to be a month out when this comes out.
I'm aiming for like 8 videos in October. The first one's probably going to be the Munsters review, which is shot and done. Somebody's editing that, but I'm doing the writing, shooting and editing on the one that I just did today. Today I'm doing one because it's like really specific. I pick which ones I edit myself and which ones I give to someone else. Like, okay, you could do this. This one is really specific. This one might just be easier I edit. But the next one I think is the Munsters.
Okay. There's a remake that Rob Zombie's doing with the Munsters, I think, coming out.
Oh, that's it. It's the remake, yeah.
Oh, it's that remake. It's already out.
Well, it came out very quietly.
Oh, jeez. I feel terrible.
I think it's only on U.S. Netflix, as far as I know.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Like, I haven't seen it advertised or anything.
It came out very quietly.
I mean,
half of the video, though, I spend talking about the original and Rob Zombie. Just like a little tribute to Rob Zombie, a tribute to the original show, and then the second half of the video is like what I think of the new one. It's like anything new, you're digesting it, a lot of it, because a lot of it I'm like, whoa, like this is weird. It's a weird movie.
I've seen the trailer. I admit I did watch the trailer out of curiosity, because Rob Zombie is a character in and of himself, and the movies that he does are quite, you know, violent and gory. And then I thought, okay, I know he's doing a family-friendly version of this, is my understanding. Does it stay family-friendly?
It's the only Rob Zombie movie you could show your kids.
That's insane.
I don't know what they'll think of it, but you could show it to them. visuals are great, but let me tell you, visually it just looks like the pure embodiment of Halloween. Like, it looks like a retro Halloween commercial. The lighting is all just hyper colors. Everything is just vibrant. And
all right, well, yeah, by the time this episode comes out, it actually might be Halloweenish time, so that's funny. We did get one comment here on our Discord about Tough Jim. This was from Pooches. They said, I did some research about Tough Jim that you challenged James to make a video at, and they came up with nothing. But there is a website that has Google Map links to other locations of that film, Rocky III. But Tough Jim might be something you're going to have to do some mystery, Sherlock Holmes type work to find out where the Tough Jim location is.
Oh, okay. That's not known?
I believe it might have been spelled... Try T-U-F-F. I can't remember now. I don't know if it was phonetically spelled or correctly spelled, but either way, it is called Tough Jim. That's where Apollo takes Rocky. This is where it all began, he says. This is where it all began. This is, you know, go back to the basics. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So are you honestly going to look at doing a Rocky 3 location beach sequence, or a Rocky Random Beach?
It took me years and years and years to do the Rocky 4 one, so hopefully.
I think this one might be easier. I don't think it should be as much.
Yeah. Oh, it will be, but still, like, just putting it on the list of everything
else that's
coming up.
You got a busy life, and I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I could keep talking to you. I can nerd out with you as well. We could talk Rocky Rambo video games. And again, James, thank you so much for coming on the show. And, you know, honestly, giving me another chance, I would say like a redemption, because you were very kind and gracious with your stories. First interview, because you did a lot of – we asked you a lot of how you got started and all that storyline stuff. So I didn't want to repeat all that same mantra, and you're probably tired of talking about that every time.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
But thanks for coming on this show, and good luck to you and your future endeavors.
Oh, cool. Thanks. You too.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Bye-bye. Bye.